All right, Nick DeGiglio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower on a Monday morning. My dad will be telling a joke a little bit later on, and we have a Blackhawks Express from a great Blackhawks game from last night. Our phone number, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can check us out on Twitter, at Nick D Show. Facebook, best way to stay connected. It's constantly updated. And it is interactive, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Like us, facebook.com/Nick D Show. And a great way to listen to us if you can't stay up between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. every weekday morning is to do our podcast. Subscribe to them. It's easy. It's free. You can go to iTunes, find the Nick DeGiglio Show, subscribe to the podcast. It's free, and it'll automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen anytime you want at your leisure, bro. That's right, at your leisure, bro. And also check out our podcast at WGNRadio.com, which is a great website that you should check out regularly, WGNRadio.com. All right. Before we get into some origins of 15 holiday foods and drinks, which you will be consuming over the next few weeks, the holiday foods and drink origin, we're going to get to that, talk a little more holiday stuff. But we have, speaking of Christmas, a great gift to get your friends, especially music fans. Is a book called A Little More Less, and it is by our very own Stephen Johnny. By the way, Stephen Johnny on our show tomorrow morning. They will be on right after the 2 o'clock news. They'll be joining me, and they'll be on for the whole show. I've already told them that they can't leave. So Stephen Johnny will be my guest for the entire show tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning. We'll chat about what they've been doing and their upcoming fill-ins here at the station, and, of course, their book, A Little More Less, which is their great story about their relationship between themselves and the great Les Paul. And it's a terrific book. I've read it, and it's selling very well. And if you want to get a copy of it, you can go to WGNRadio.com/Les Paul book. But if you would like to win a copy of it that we'll be giving away, we're giving away like a copy every morning. And we'll give one away tomorrow morning when Steve and Johnny are actually here live in the studio. But we're giving one away right now by being the seventh caller at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Caller number seven right now will get themselves a copy of Steve and Johnny's terrific book, A Little More Less, about Les Paul. 312-981-7200. Caller number seven will get a copy of the book. And once again, if you can't get through or you are not our winner this morning, we have more to give away in the coming days, and we also have them available. Very easy to get them. It is at WGNRadio.com/Les Paul book. WGNRadio.com/Les Paul book. Now, Esmeralda, you're going to be off tomorrow.
I am.
So you're going to miss Steve and Johnny.
No.
Oh, man. Come on.
I can't change my day off.
Come on. All right. All right.
I will be here in spirit.
Yeah.
Floating about.
Float. You'll be floating around? Spinning on your head?
Exactly.
Like Esmeralda the Heart Melda?
She'll be here.
Oh, you're going to have Esmeralda the Heart Melda here.
Yeah, she'll be here spinning around.
She'll be just spinning.
Putting up tree-shaped cardboard everywhere.
Right.
Just because.
Because you know this Friday morning, Fly Jams Friday, is our Fly Jams Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Reindeer-shaped, tree-shaped.
Yeah, boy, you got a lot of work. A lot of work cut out for you.
You know, I just get one and then make a cutout.
Now, is DJ Shagruda going to be wearing any Christmas like ornaments or anything?
Do I just come in a Santa suit and forget the vest?
Oh no, you got to wear.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
No, you got to wear that in addition to the Santa suit. You can't not wear the customary DJ Shagruda outfit.
What kind of vest do I have? A gold vest, right?
It's the gold vest with the tuft.
The tuft.
You've got the raspberry beret.
Right.
You've got the fingerless gloves.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the shoes with the boots with the heels that have the goldfish in them.
Right.
And, of course, you have the Tom Baker
scarf.
Doctor Who scarf.
Right.
Well, I think that all fits over a Santa Claus outfit.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know if
Do I wear the parachute pants or do I just go with, like, the red jacket?
Do you have any red parachute pants?
I'm sure.
I don't. Who doesn't?
Exactly. There you go. Done and done.
And again, if you have requests for this Friday's Friday? Yeah, Friday, man, yeah.
He's on after Shadow.
He's on after. That's right. He's got middays. Yeah, Friday. What's his name? Friday?
Friday.
Friday, man. Middays on www. All right, we have a winner. Greg, congratulations. You are a winner. You may stop calling now, listeners. We thank you for jamming up all the phone lines. But our lucky number 7 and our lucky winner, congratulations to Greg. Greg gets himself a copy of Stephen Johnny's book, A Little More Less. And, again, we'll give another copy away tomorrow morning. And, again, join us because the people that, as far as I'm concerned, still own this time slot, and I'm just a fill-in. Stephen Johnny will be here live in studio with me for the whole show tomorrow. After 2 o'clock, it'll be me, and more importantly, it'll be Stephen Johnny. And we'll have another copy to give away tomorrow. All right. Now, Esmeralda, are you a fan of the holidays generally?
I'm a fan because it's a lot of parties, and you get to see people that you usually don't.
Yeah.
You get to do fun things like go ice skating.
Uh-huh. Well, then you
win the Chris Kindle Market.
Oh, that's the Chris Kindle Market. Yeah, you like that. Have you been over there yet?
I haven't.
Not yet.
Make my way over.
Well, you got a day off tomorrow.
I know.
So go there between 2 and 5. That's where you'll be.
Watch some cuckoo clocks.
Watching cuckoo clocks.
It's my favorite part. Where else are you going to see a cuckoo clock?
Your grandmother's house?
No. No cuckoo clocks.
That was always where I remember, like, grandparents and stuff having cuckoo clocks.
They have a whole stand of them at the Chris Kindle Market.
And they go off periodically?
No.
Can you?
I think some do, but they're silent because would be just a headache.
If they all went off at the same time, they have like 300 cuckoo clocks. And they go off every 15 minutes.
Oof, no.
Do you imagine having like a 9-hour shift at the Kris Kringle and Kringle Hut or whatever the hell it's called? What's it called? The Kringle Hut?
Kris Kindle Market.
Yeah. Now, could you imagine that going off every 15 minutes?
It's a bit much.
That's like when I visit Walgreens and they have stuff that makes sound in the aisle. That's how I discovered Count Fartula and Fartenstein, because I stood in the aisle and would just press the fingers and listen to the Count Fartula and Fartenstein. And, you know, the people who were working like in the liquor department at the counter who are like 6 feet away from that aisle had to listen to that all day. I couldn't even imagine. I worked at the Jewels for many, many years, and we never really had any of that noise-making stuff. But if you go up and down an aisle in a Walgreens in their seasonal section, like, I mean, they got Christmas stuff up now, like Halloween stuff, you know, making all kinds of noise, and now you got, like, Christmas things.
Some dancing Santas.
Dancing Santas.
Elves.
How about the Santa, like, when he's dancing around and his pants fall down?
Yeah, he shakes his bowl full of jelly.
His what?
His stomach, like
a
bowl
what?
Full of jelly,
he's,
right?
No, he's got a bowl full of jelly. He actually walks around with a large bowl full of jelly.
And shakes it around.
He shakes it around. Doesn't do anything. Doesn't give it to the kids or anything. He just walks around shaking a bowl of jelly. That's why he gets
spilling it everywhere.
That's why he gets kicked out. It's like, yeah, here comes Santa Claus again. Gonna spill jelly all over the floor. Dude, get out. Ho, 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 ho. No, don't ho, ho me, idiot. Bring a mop next time you come in here spilling your jelly all over. So, oh, man. Yeah, by the way, straight out of context, everybody, if you want to listen to that, you can participate. Whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty. Yeah. Good God. All right, are you a fan of gingerbread, Esmeralda?
I haven't had it in a very long time.
And the flavor of gingerbread?
I like ginger.
Okay.
But I don't know if I like, I don't think I do.
Oh,
I will
come
go
on.
No.
Seriously?
I will say no.
Dan, what about you? What about you?
I too vote no on gingerbread.
Oh, come on. Seriously? Man, I enjoy the gingerbread. Do you know the history of the gingerbread?
Please enlighten us.
The first known recipe of this sweet treat is said to be from Greece in 2400 BCE. The formula was developed and remixed through several cultures and eventually made its way to England, where Queen Elizabeth I was credited with the idea of decorating the cookies. Eventually, gingerbread was consumed year-round and the shapes changed with the seasons. The designs got so elaborate that they became a symbol of elegance, which is perhaps why we save them for a special time like the holidays. Oh. So I got two grumpuses here. I got two Krampuses
here. Just because we don't like gingerbread?
How do you not like gingerbread? It's a tasty treat, like a treat.
I don't know. Maybe I haven't. You know what? I haven't had, like, real homemade.
What about ginger snaps? You like ginger snaps or ginger snap cookies or anything
no,
like that?
No, that doesn't. No.
What the hell is wrong with you people? Dan?
No.
What?
Is ginger beer actual alcoholic beer?
Yes.
Okay.
No, there's two kinds.
Is there?
Yeah, you can get ginger beer that's like root beer.
I was only aware of the alcoholic kind for a long time.
There's ginger beer that's just like root beer.
I've never had non-alcoholic.
Which is quite nice.
Beer.
It's very gingery.
Is it? Oh, good. I would like that.
It's got a bite to it.
Well, is ginger beer? How is that just not ginger ale? What's the difference between ginger ale and ginger beer?
I think it's how you brew it. It's like root beer. Instead of whatever root they use for root beer,
no, I know,
it's ginger.
But what I'm saying, what is the difference between ginger ale and ginger beer? Like, if you were to taste a ginger ale,
oh well, ginger ale is mainly just sugar. Like, if you ever had ginger ale, it's pretty not ginger.
Well, it depends on the ginger ale you get. I think. I don't know.
According to this, ginger ale is carbonated water that's been flavored with ginger, while ginger beer is brewed and fermented using.
Oh, so it's fermented with ginger.
It's like beer.
Oh, well, then I would probably enjoy ginger beer more than I would ginger ale.
Yeah, no, it's really nice. It's very, it has quite a bite to it, and it's really ginger.
Whenever I go out now, you know, I don't go out very often. Very, very rarely do I go out. But if I'm at a place where they serve liquor, I've consumed more ginger ale in the past 6 months than I think anybody in the world has.
Oh, sure. Because that's always the go-to.
It's the go-to when you don't drink.
Although I would go with
because it kind of looks,
soda.
Doesn't it kind of look like liquor? Like if you have a ginger ale and you have it like in a tall glass, you can,
I would go with a soda and cranberry juice.
Yeah, no, that's good too. But I just
and a lime.
All right.
Try it next time.
Okay.
Blow your mind.
I don't go. Well, it's going to blow my mind. Cranberry juice, soda, and a lime. That's going to blow my mind.
No, it's refreshing. It's a spritzer.
I know what it is. All right. I bartended for many years, Esmeralda. I mean, it's not like all I did was consume liquor when I was an alcoholic. Well, I'm still an alcoholic, just not a practicing one. Because you're never not. You're recovering, and that's what I am. 6 months, by the way, Friday was 6 months. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So, yeah, it's 6 months of massively consuming ginger ale. That's also what it is. When I burp now, I smell like ginger. That's
you should
it.
Ask, though, if they do have ginger beer, because it's really good.
Yeah, no, it sounds good as long as it doesn't have alcohol
well,
in
yeah,
it.
I'll drink it. I mean, does
now, actually, though, the fermentation doesn't make it alcohol.
I don't think. I think it's like root beer.
Okay.
Where root beer, it's the same process as beer, but it's just a different.
But it's not. There's no alcohol in it. So it's just the. But I always think fermentation. I think things get liquored up.
Yeah, but what about kimchi? It's not all.
Oh,
boozy.
I'm telling you, I got blasted on kimchi once.
Sure.
It was terrible, man. All right. Well, we got a break here. We got some weather. We got some traffic, and we'll tell you all about apple cider. Cranberry sauce and eggnog and candy canes. What are your favorite holiday foods and drinks? 312-981-7200. Do you like gingerbread? I need some gingerbread love here. For God's sake.
Laughing as we go. Happy all the way.
Yeah.
Round the town we ride.
Come on, man.
Makes no difference where. With my baby by my side, I don't really care. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle.
Nick DiGilio here. Yeah. Busting out the Christmas cocktails from Ultra Lounge. For those of you who are longtime listeners of my show, and I had a partner when I first started called Gary Lee Wright. We worked together for several years. And Gary and I, all of our bumps that we used to play coming back from commercials and news and stuff like that, all came from the Ultra Lounge collection. Now, I don't know if you've, Esmeralda, have you ever heard of the Ultra Lounge collection of CDs?
Maybe that sounds familiar.
It's Ultra-Lounge. And if you do like a Google search, you can see all of the music that they put together and all the compilations. And we used to play the Ultra Lounge collection all the time on our show, and it became kind of our thing. And, you know, a lot of hip, you know, big band stuff and you know, Sinatra and all that kind of stuff. And they released Christmas albums called Christmas Cocktails. And those are the Christmas songs that I'll mostly be playing over the next few days until Christmas Eve, 10 days from this morning. Like that right there was Lena Horne. Lena Horne. By the way, TV One had a 6.5 hour or 7 hour Sanford and Son marathon on Saturday. And it was exquisite. It was exquisite. And it included, of course, the episode where Lena Horne shows up at Fred's house to, at his insistence, to entertain his son, Little Lame Lamont. Anyway, so all the Christmas stuff, or most of the Christmas stuff that you'll be hearing over the next morning, this next few mornings leading up to our Christmas Eve show, will be from the Christmas Cocktails CDs, and some of them include The Ventures, and you got Wayne Newton, you got Dean Martin, the Rat Pack guys. Also, you'll be hearing from the Rat Pack Christmas album as well, which is one of the greatest Christmas albums of all time. So, all right, we're talking about the origin of some holiday foods and drinks, and I've discovered that I have a couple of crumpuses working with me because they don't like gingerbread. And how about, let's go with cranberry sauce. Do you guys enjoy cranberry sauce, Esmeralda?
I like the kind that's molded from the can.
You like the one that's shaped like the can when you splurp it out.
I like that better than fresh.
All right. Now, what about you, Dan?
I feel the same way.
What?
Look at that, because great minds think alike. That's why.
Okay. Now, look, I enjoy the canned, the shaped like the can. You know, you ever do this? You ever, like, splurp out the can of cranberry sauce and then cut it with the lid?
That sounds dangerous.
That you just, like, I would, like, whenever I was, like, going to do that, like, use the cranberry sauce stuff, you'd open it up and take the lid that you, the circular, you know, the jagged edge of the lid that you just cut off, the can, and I would use that to cut the cranberry sauce.
How often do you consume cranberry sauce?
Just usually once a year, you know, or a couple
of times.
So
for the holidays?
Just for the holidays.
Okay. Yeah.
But I have been known, I've had it, you know, I was married a couple times. And then we would have some people over during the holidays and splurp out the old cranberry, congealed, jellied cranberry sauce.
I don't like the way you do it, though, because I imagine that the edges aren't clean.
Well, I also would imagine that one side of the can, the one that was exposed to shelves and all kinds of stuff, that's the thing you should be worried about. Not necessarily the edge of the can, but how disgusting the top of the...
That is true.
Yeah.
I just like really when you can slice it and it's perfect circular.
Yeah.
Oh. That's
well, good. I like both of them. I don't prefer the jellied splurp out the can version like the can. I like the regular real stuff more.
It's a case of the tartness of it. It's like when you have you ever gone somewhere fancy pants and they make their own ketchup?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have that same bite to it that regular ketchup
I understand. Does. Yeah, I understand. Also, but now did you grow up with the canned splurped cranberry sauce?
Yes.
Okay, that's why.
No, so did I.
And that's why I like it. But I think that the real cranberry sauce made with real cranberries, you know, with cranberries in it is better.
I like a bite to my cranberry sauce.
Okay.
And I feel like homemade doesn't have that tartness.
It does. It has cranberries in it.
Yeah,
you can't get tartar than cranberry.
They're probably throwing in something into the canned one.
I'm sure there's something in there that we don't know what it is. Scientists probably don't know what it is, but it's in there.
Deliciousness.
Now, you want to talk about a type of juice that has so much sugar in it. Cranberry juice? You look at the label. When you buy cranberry juice, look at the label.
Oh, no, I buy the hippy-dippy stuff.
Yeah, you have to. No, if you want actual cranberry juice, yeah, Esmeralda, you buy the hippy-dippy stuff. You have to, because that's like real, because if you buy like regular Ocean Spray cranberry juice, they're not a sponsor, are they?
I don't believe so.
Okay, good. They suck. No, but the sugar content in like a bottle of Ocean Spray cranberry is ridiculous.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
It's usually not completely cranberry juice.
And then it's cran grape and cran apple and all that stuff. Get the real stuff, man.
Yeah, the real stuff
with stuff floating in it.
That's frightening, though.
It's fantastic.
It's good, but it's like, oh, you make that sour face.
Marcus L. Uran. Oh, man. The guy's last name. Now, you know what cranberry juice is supposed to be good for, right? This guy's last name is Uran. That's the most appropriate last name for the guy who canned berries in 1912 so that they could be jellied. That really isn't it. That's like the guy's last name is Crapper. What did that guy do? He invented the toilet seat, right?
Right.
He didn't actually invent the toilet.
Correct.
And his name is Crapper. That's fantastic. This guy, cranberry sauce man, dealing with cranberries, and his last name is Uran. You learn something new every day. All right, we got to take a break. News is next.
Merry Christmas, baby.
Lou Rawls, man. See, now this would fill in the Fly Jam Christmas. We're looking for Fly Jam songs for Christmas, everybody. This Friday morning is our Fly Jam Christmas special. All right. 312-981-7200. And we're talking about the origins of certain food and holiday drinks and stuff like that. And we got some texts that have been coming in. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Robin Wheaton says, warm gingerbread is fantastic. I agree with you, Robin Wheaton. I completely agree with you. 773 area code says, yuck with gingerbread and ginger snaps. I do not agree with you, 773. But I have a recipe for ginger snaps from my mom, and they are wonderful. Well, wait a minute. Wait, so your mom's recipe for ginger snaps is wonderful, but ginger snaps and gingerbread not?
I don't know.
Jay says the Bodie Bake Company in Twin Lakes make great gingerbread. Bodie, do they also rob banks with Reagan masks on? hey, by the way, I got to see that damn movie. And I'm not going to be happy. If you are at, I'll warn people what showtime and what theater I'm going to when I go see the remake of Point Break. I don't think you want to be in the theater because I will begin probably 4 minutes in tearing seats out of the theater and running around screaming. I just want you to, you might want to steer clear of that theater. I'm going to try and rent out the theater by myself so that no one gets hurt.
Well, by the way you're talking about it, it seems that you tearing out the seats would be more entertaining than watching the screen.
I'm sure. I'm sure it would be. I'm telling you, every time I see a commercial for this Point Break thing, I get so mad. I just sit on the couch and I'm like, how dare you? How dare you? I get so mad. Then I'm watching the Bears game yesterday. Okay? And every once in a while, they're showing a commercial for that damn abomination Point Break remake that has no business being even made or shown. How dare you take a masterpiece like Point Break and even attempt to remake it? Then I'm watching the damn thing. Did you see, Dan, what movie commercial premiered during the Bear game yesterday?
I missed that.
There's a damn sequel to Independence Day coming out.
Oh, I just heard about that, yeah.
Did you see the commercial?
I did not see the commercial.
Jeff Goldblum is in it.
Yeah, the Pullman's back, too.
Pullman's all bearded in it. And Will Smith is not in it, but Chris Hemsworth is. And we've talked about his box office potential a little bit earlier. I hated the original Independence Day. I think Independence Day, one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life. I've seen movies, I've been alive for 50 years. Independence Day is one of the absolute worst movies I've ever seen in those 50 years. And I knew that I had heard talk that they were making a sequel. And then I see the commercial for it and I'm like, are you kidding me?
You don't like when he punches the alien?
Welcome to planet Earth. That movie sucks. That movie is beyond bad. It is awful. One of the worst movies ever made. Oh, God. Is anybody looking? Are you guys looking forward to the sequel? You don't like gingerbread. You probably liked Independence Day, right?
I'm actually the number one fan of Independence Day.
That's a terrible movie. It is terrible. It's one of the worst movies ever made in the history of mankind.
I think I've only seen it once.
It's awful. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. The effects aren't good. It's not entertaining. It's not exciting. It's insanely xenophobic and racist and misogynist. Misogynistic is actually the word.
Right. Wasn't that the beginning of Will Smith and his...
Oh, yeah. That's another problem.
And his Summer Jam movies.
Well, no, I believe Men in Black came... No, Men in Black came after that. It was the year... Men in Black was after that, which is actually a movie I like. I'm not a big Will Smith guy. And
right.
This concussion movie... All right. Hey, look at this. Dave's calling from Sweden.
Oh, wow.
Hey, what's going on over there?
How are you, Dave?
What you need to do is, I want to raise a flag on Independence Day. It's not a movie. It's actually a documentary. That actually happened in the history of the United States.
Oh, right. Okay.
What you need, Nick, you need to take a nice gingerbread cookie and relax, I think.
Okay. Well, first of all, that's an incredible Swedish accent you have, Dave.
Harsh to bard and fury to horde. I speak fluent Swedish.
Okay. What are you doing in Sweden?
And, you know, I listen to you because my morning radio is your morning radio because the time difference. So I'm baking cookies and I'm playing the Christmas music and I'm like proudly fighting for the Chicago and American traditions of Christmas here in Sweden. And listen to you guys. So
All right.
I thought I'd call you and talk about gingerbread because I'm living in the capital of gingerbread. It's gingerbread up the yin yang. It's gingerbread until you want to throw up on gingerbread.
It's good stuff, though. Will you tell my cohorts in crime here that it's actually it's really good?
It is pretty good. Gingerbread's really good. Now in Sweden, they make the gingerbread cutout cookies, not the ginger snaps that we're used to. I bake ginger snaps here in Sweden and serve my Swedish friends, but here is the cutouts. And so try this: if you have blue cheese on a gingerbread cutout cookie and make like a little sandwich of it. Oh, it's good.
I bet, man. I bet.
No, it really is. But actually, it's gingerbread everywhere. Everywhere you go now during Christmas, from Thanksgiving, which isn't celebrated here, up until Christmas, there's gingerbread cookies everywhere. Everywhere you go, every store. You get on the bus driver has a little can of gingerbread, ginger snaps, so he'll serve you for free. It's just crazy.
What?
Crazy.
Wow. I want to go to Sweden. Yeah.
Sweden's. I've never been there.
Just to ride the buses.
I lived in Andersonville for 14 years. That's the closest I've ever gotten to Sweden.
Buses have given
Did you ever visit that old lady who's about 1 foot tall, has a little shop, sells all the Swedish crap, all the caviar?
I love those. Yeah, absolutely, man. Let me ask you this, Dave. On New Year's Eve, do you eat, do you have the herring?
Oh, the herring. Oh, well, I don't know how much time I got, but in Sweden, we have the Christmas smorgasbord. It's very, very important. And that goes on from almost Thanksgiving until Christmas. And the herring is a very important part. I love the herring. That's one of the many things here in Sweden I've learned over these last 3,000 years I've lived here to enjoy. And the herring's really, really good.
I'm a huge fan of herring. I like the pickled and I like the creamed. I love that stuff, man. And
you're just at the tip of the iceberg, my friend. You should come here. I'll take you out. We'll have a little herring thing going on because there's herring in every shape, form, and size.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Don't they do the lutefisk?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah. You get the lutefisk. You get that at the Christmas smorgasbord table I mentioned. You get the lutefisk. That's really good, too.
Is
nothing
the one
like poisoned.
Dipped in lye?
Yeah. It's dipped in lye.
Yeah. It's rotten fish that's preserved in lye. I mean,
it's funny. I mean, I'm joking around, but I did live in Andersonville for 14 years, and I learned more about Swedish culture living there than seriously. Honestly, it's unbelievable. You know what? And the foods that they have there, they got the real deal in that neighborhood. They really do.
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times. Whenever I'm home visiting, I'll go because I'm from Elgin, and I'd take friends and. If I have Swedish people with me, we'd go to Andersonville.
I told Nicholas Jomerson to go to Simon's. He had never been there before. I told him to go to Simon's and try the glug, and he did.
How was it?
And he loved it. It's the best. I can't drink it anymore. That's one thing that just this Thanksgiving is going to be real. Going to be real, or it already passed. But this like Christmas is going to be real weird.
You could drink kids.
I want the glug I want the glug that Scott Martin makes at Simon's.
Oh well.
And I can't have it.
At the Chris Kindle Market, they have children's glue wine.
Okay, I'll try that.
Well, glug and the peppercocker is called the gingerbread that's everywhere. And the and of course you can get glug without you know, hoochie. That's easy. It's 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I don't like the glug. It's all sticky, and I make home. Actually, when I'm making Christmas dinner here, I don't do the Swedishy stuff with all the sills and the herrings and the hams and the this is and the, I make a traditional Thanksgiving dinner on Christmas Eve's day because we celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve here in Sweden.
Right.
So I make the whole spiel, the turkey, homemade stuffing, the gravy, the candied yams, homemade cranberries. I heard you guys talk about cranberries a little while back. Yep, homemade. That's easy as 1, 2, 3.
Easy stuff, yeah. All right, Dave, I got to run because I got to hit the break here.
Bro, thanks for talking to me.
All right, have a great holiday. Thanks for calling in all the way from Sweden. There's Dave, all the way from Sweden. See?
He should bring us some Swedish meatballs when he's back.
No, man, I get mine from IKEA.
I'll do
By the way, I wanted to mention that 815 area code says, Nick, we call the cranberry stuff in a can, quote unquote, traditional round. It's more dignifying than splurt in a can. Well, what's the noise it makes when you do? It splurts out of the can. You splurp it out of the can.
Which is such a satisfying
traditional
noise.
Round.
Sounds like beef.
I've never heard. I know it does. That sounds more to me. That sounds more disgusting than splurp in a can. Yeah, man, traditional round. I'm going to have a little traditional round with my turkey. All right, we'll have more origins of holiday foods coming up in the next few mornings as we play Christmas music and all kinds of cool stuff.